I'm going to get over to Matthew chapter 4, a little ring there, verse 17, if you need a Bible, we have them, praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about change, not change in your pocket, but change. This is one of those things that I think sometimes temperament-wise, some people just jump into and other people hold back against. All the dependables usually love change. Praise God. Do you hear that laugh in the front row? But it's necessary. If there's going to be any growth, then there has to be change. Praise God. So, we need to be willing to move forward. There's a quote in one of the books that we've been reading. Change emphasizes becoming. Transformation puts the focus on being. People mistakenly think, if I am, because that's what we're saying about transformation, I am these things, but I need to be transformed so it shows on the outside. So if I am, then I don't have to do anything. That's why the writer of Hebrews clarified the issue. In Hebrews 4:11, it says, labor to enter into that rest. There's a work to get to that place. You do have to labor, but you're not laboring to become. You're laboring to convince yourself of the truth about who you are in Christ. So I'm going to use the word change, but probably transformation needs to be at least in the back of our mind, because we're not trying to, I'm going to finally straighten myself out. I'm going to finally become the person I'm supposed to be. Well, there's some truth to that, but really you are the person you need to be, but it's down on the inside. It needs to come out. It needs to be, we need to see it, praise God. So that's what we want to display to the world, that the power to be a witness of a resurrected Christ. I don't think Acts 1:8 was talking about going door to door and sharing tracts. All those things are important, but to be a witness is different than witnessing. And we either are or aren't a witness in that sense, whether anybody else is watching or not. When we get up in the morning and nobody else is around, we are a witness of a resurrected Christ, or ain't no witness at all, witnessing something else. So this is what we want to labor to get to that point. And I guess I want to prod this morning. I want to get the cattle prod out and get people moving forward. All of us pastors, everybody likes to be patted on the back and say, well, that was a good message and all those kind of things. But the thing that really moves you as a leader, as a minister, is when people are receiving the word and they're changing, they're transforming, they're doing something with it. We've heard a lot of messages, haven't we? Not just the ones you hear here in church, but I know you guys listen to CDs and watch Christian TV and talk to each other and all those things. That we're really not lacking information. We're lacking transformation. So in between information and transformation is what? Application. So, that's what we need. And one of the sad parts, I guess, of ministry a lot of times is to do everything that you can to make that available. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you apply the truth. And it's a lot of times the people that seem to need it the most don't come to the table. You got people that are dying on the vine. They're dying of spiritual starvation, I guess you could say. But you got to pull your chair up to the table and eat. You got to apply what you're hearing. All right, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, one of the things that we've learned about repent is it's not when I get this awful feeling and I just feel so sad and I know I've been so bad that I'm finally going to make some changes. It's just simply a change of mind. I'm seeing that I'm not living up to what God has said, so I'm going to change my mind and move towards that. I'm going to labor towards that. I'm going to go in that direction. Amen? just, and then, you know, it starts from there. And then when our minds change, we open up our hearts, and we're more likely to get the truth in our hearts and go in the right direction. Just, I looked up repent in the Strong's, and it's, first of all, it's in the imperative, which means it wasn't a suggestion. He's saying, repent. Change of mind or change by choice. This or this, I'm choosing that. And, it's, you know, our days are filled with those kind of things. Well, I could do this, but I probably should do that. I should do that, but I'm doing this. You know, all those kind of things. But we're working on it. Amen? Amen. And the thing of it is, you know, this is family here today. We are, as a church, in this place of change. It wasn't just about we needed a new name. We needed a change down to the core. We need to become who God called us to be. And I believe that we've started inching forward. We've started moving in the right direction. There are indicators, and financially and attendance-wise. We had 90 people here last week, praise God. And that, you could say it's Easter, but we're usually down at Easter time, attendance-wise, not up. You know, praise God, I think there's some indication we're moving forward, but you can move forward a little bit and then stop. And then move forward a little bit and then stop. And we need to just move forward. And we have a great opportunity coming up this week. When I think about Easter celebration, and, you know, we moved it up, and so we made some changes, and that's put some challenges before us and so on. But if Dr. Lemon has said to me many times, go for a win. Find something you can do and win. Well, this is something we know we can do and win. Amen? We can bring the right information to people's lives, not just the kids, but the adults too, to give them an opportunity to apply that information and be transformed from the core. Praise God. And we have in the past, and we need to this year. So, you know, the time of just, I'm going to do that someday. The time is here now to roll up our sleeves and get busy and start doing what God called us to do. It's going to be a busy week. It's going to be a lot of work. It isn't easy, but it's worth it, praise God. And when you think about what an opportunity this is to change somebody's life. Amen. I remember that song, usually makes you cry when you hear it played, about the guys in heaven, and he's thanks for giving to the Lord. Yeah, that we participated in some way in a life-changing event like this, whether it's financial giving or at this point we really need to get at it. So thank you. I've heard people talk about took time off this week. It's going to be good. And you know, one thing we need to be in agreement on is the weather. It's going to be warm. It's not going to rain. It's not going to be windy. Amen. So if you see the forecaster saying something else, just disagree with them. And we need to be in agreement. That's the way it's going to be. And then that's the way it'll be. Praise God. Remember, we were talking last week about, or the week before, about agreeing, you know, Mark 11:23. What we say, believe that what you say comes to pass. All right. So we're in this period of change. And we're really going to be in this period of change until Jesus comes, as we get transformed in one area, then there's other areas that we need to be transformed in. And people are going to be, they're going to be themselves when it comes to these kind of things. Some people are just going to embrace it. All right. I have a friend, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, Joe Grant. And they used to call him Go Grant, because if there was something out there to do different, he was doing it. He was changing it all. He was frustrated, giving to his staff and everything. And I thought we were going to do it this way. I thought we'd do it this way, you know. And we all need some of that to be willing to move forward. Others are going to try to ignore it. If I just ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Us plodders, if I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, be quiet. Keep moving forward. And there's a time to just keep moving forward slowly. But then you come every once in a while to a fork in the road, and you've got to make a good choice and choose God's way. And then there are those that just run from it. I know we've, Diane and I have met people, ministered to people over the years, that after a while they'll go, they're going to, I'm going to leave, Pastor. Why? Don't like the pressure. You know what? We need some pressure. Amen. It doesn't need to be, I don't know if comfortable is the right word. Remember when Dr. Lemon came and he said, you have a nice, comfortable church. And he didn't mean that as a pat on the back. He was saying you can get too comfortable. You can say, oh, you know, well, we've got our own building, and, you know, they're pretty thing. Everything's kind of working, so this will be okay. It's not okay. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep being willing to make the changes that we need to make. Now, and one thing that Diane and I were discussing this in the last week or so, with the, you know, the different teaching and making adjustments to things from the past, I want you to understand, it's not about everything that we've done so far is wrong. There have been people in the past, and they have brought some message in. I hated the word revelation, because people come and say, I have revelation, and I thought, oh boy, where are we going now? A lot of them were not from God. They were just from their pizza the night before. I don't know where it came from, but it wasn't from God. But it's not about everything that we've done up to this point is wrong. We have built a foundation. We've had to adjust. You look back, anybody looks back and says, well, that wasn't quite right. That needs some adjusting. Amen? But it's dangerous to throw away the foundation. Because the Lord has helped us build a wonderful foundation for the last 35 years, going on 36 now. So we build on that foundation, but you're not supposed to just, when it's all said and done, wasn't that a nice foundation? There's supposed to be a house on top of it. And where we lived in Pennsylvania, there was a family that built a foundation, and they put a roof on it because the intention was, we're going to live here until we can build that first story like we need to. The trouble is, it never happens. As far as I know, it still looks like that. It's just a more or less a basement with a roof on it. We can do better than that. Amen? So it's a good foundation. And it's not only the church foundation, but it's whatever foundation you build in your life. Are you going to be happy with the foundation, or are you going to build on it? We're going to build on it. Amen. All right. I shared this before with you. Why do people resist change? There's a quote from this guy, the Duke of Cambridge, in the late 1800s, and he said, any change at any time for any reason is to be deplored. Well, obviously, there have been a few changes since the late 1800s. I think a lot about my grandfather was born in 1898, and he was the first farmer in that area to have to move over to rubber tires on his tractor instead of the old steel tires. And I remember him saying, the other farmer said, it won't last. You'll be back. You'll be going back to those steel tires. If you ever rode on one of those, you think a tractor is rough anyway with steel tires, and it really was. So, you know, if we're going to produce and move forward, we need change. Some people resist change because they're threatened by the loss of something, the loss of security. Loss of money. Sometimes you take a loss so you can move forward. And the big thing is a loss of control. You know the saying, God is my co-pilot? He doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. You be the co-pilot. Some people are resisting change because of satisfaction where they are. Which is kind of a misnomer in a sense, because they aren't really satisfied where they are. But it's that, and I've felt this too. I bet you have, where if I don't really like it here, but I don't know what's out there. If I do that and this happens, what about that? And we start, you know what we start doing? Using our imagination, which can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. And we start imagining, I'm going to get out there and it's going to get worse. It'll be harder yet. We need to imagine, particularly if we're doing our best to be led by the Spirit of God, it's going to get better. And then there's just resistant change because of tradition. This is the way we always did it. Why should we do it different? You know the stories about cutting the end of the roast off because it fit in grandma's pan. Could fit, a whole roast could fit in your pan now, but that's, this is the way we always did it. Change will happen. This, I don't know where I first heard this, but I've had it in my notes for a long time. Change will happen when people hurt enough that they have to, learn enough that they want to, or receive enough that they're able to. Now, that's a good saying, and I think it's mostly true, but sometimes it's not. Because some people are hurting, and they've learned, and they received, and they still don't change, because it still takes a choice. It's still a repent thing. It's still a choice. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to do something different. And I know in my life, as I look back on it, there were times when I stayed in one place way too long. We'd be a lot farther ahead if I just, when it first came up to that fork in the road, if I just made a choice, instead of continuing on. Dennis Burke was here one time. He was sharing a lot of people, it's, you know, the broad is the way that leads to destruction. They got off that highway on an exit, on a salvation exit. But he says there's a big parking lot there. They got off, but they're still there. 20 years now in the body of Christ, and they're still there. Well, we got to make a little more progress than that. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 24, one of the parables of Jesus. Verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owners of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did not you sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Then both grow." Let's see. "Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns." Now, I believe that the main thrust of Jesus' teaching here was about the judgment that's going to come at the end time, and at that time we'll separate. You know, there's a long story in chapter 25 in Matthew, I think it is, where separate the sheep from the goats, and there's going to be a time of separation. But also the indication right now is that this is not a judgment time. Amen? This is not, God's not judging now. There's going to come a time when he does, but what we're supposed to be doing, in a sense, is judging ourselves, in the sense of not judging ourselves bad, but judging ourselves to be who God says that we are. And when you do that, you know, life is a lot better. But I want to pull some other things out of here, because I think there's some good things, there's always good things in Jesus' parables. Think about the story as it goes through. The field owner sowed good seed, and an enemy sowed tares. I was looking at Nelson Bible Study. There's a note in there about the tares. Tares, I guess we could say weeds, closely resemble wheat, but are poisonous to human beings. They are indistinguishable from wheat until the final fruit appears. Farmers would weed out the tares just before the wheat harvest. Indistinguishable from it and poisonous to us. Yeah, and then they both grew, and then the wheat and the tares, you begin to notice what the two of them were. Servants pulled out the tares, wanted to pull out the tares, but the owners said that would damage the wheat also. Now, here's what I'm seeing in this. I believe we have both wheat and tares in us. Not in our spirit. When we got born again, our spirits are made brand new. Amen? We are not schizophrenic in our spirit. We're not good and bad. God and the devil don't both live in there. God lives in there by the Holy Spirit, praise God. But we have this soulish realm to deal with. And there's some stuff planted in there that we're finding out along the way as we begin to allow it, keep going through life. And it sprouts up. And sometimes, have you ever thought, where did that come from? How many have thought that before? Man, I don't know where that came from. There were some seeds in there. And this is one of the things that we're working on as far as the heart's concerned, is we're finding out as you go. There are attitudes, and if the attitudes don't change, if the attitudes of the heart don't change, no matter how hard we work on other things, there's not going to be any great change in our life. As we were talking about on Thursday night, our heart sets up boundaries. Mind sets up boundaries. The way that we think sets up boundaries. So you're not going to go any farther than this until you change that. There's a law that different teachers talk about called the law of the lid. And we put a lid in a lot of areas and say, this is as far as we're going to go until we learn to think different about those things. And they tell the story about these little fleas, I think it is, and they put them in a little jar, and it's pretty shallow, and they put a lid on it. And of course, they're trying to jump out, and they bang their head on it, and bang their head. After a while, you can take the lid off, and they won't get out because they're in their mind, there's still a lid there. I wonder what parts of our lives that there's still a lid there. I wonder where there's a boundary. And in the long run, I don't need to know about yours because I'm working on my own. That we want to push past, though. We don't want to be 5 years from now still banging our heads on something that's probably not even there, but in our minds it is, so therefore it exists and needs to be changed. These are the kind of changes that I'm talking about. This is the kind of transformation we need. When you look at your life and say, and notice, I keep coming to this place, but I don't go any farther. I get this far, and I can't seem to progress past it. Well, we're talking about thinking. We're talking about heart beliefs. We're talking about stuff in the soulish realm that needs to be changed and can be, praise God. And it's not that it's very, very difficult. But it requires repentance. It requires a change of mind. It requires a dissatisfaction with where we are. And just say, well, I guess this is me and this is where it's going to be. One of the things we have to watch out when we make the studies of temperaments is you can start making excuses for yourself. Don't look so innocent. I am a whatever here, so therefore I'm going to be this way. Here are my weaknesses. And just because we have weaknesses doesn't mean we have to stay that way. We can change, praise God. And we will. The weeds that are in our hearts are going to produce weeds everywhere else. So we might as well, before there's a great growth of weeds, and you notice how weeds really seem to grow? I have very little understanding of what's growing in the garden. I asked Diane, what's that? And she gets perturbed with me when she tells me the 10th time what it is. But every once in a while I see, look at this big plant, what's that? Weed. Looks nice, but it's not. It's all, and what the problem with the weeds is it draws energy that should go to the plant so it can be growing. It draws it off and wastes it on itself. And that's the same thing that happens on the inside of us. You've got energy that gets wasted because of the stuff that needs to be changed. But if God is not going to change it on his own. It's going to be his power, praise God, but it's our choice to make those changes. Amen. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. I believe that you're more interested in this than you look. Praise God. Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ. There's a downward spiral that's listed in the verses 17 to 19 before this. We didn't learn that from Jesus. We're on our way upward, not downward. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The change that we made is not fixing ourselves. It's a putting off, putting on process. It's when we see something that doesn't belong, we put that off. When we see something, you see, this is a new man, old man situation. So who's the new man and the old man? The old man is this person that we used to be before we got born again, and everything that's related to that. Amen? Weakness, sin, bad attitudes, all those things, sickness and disease, all those things that go with the old man need to be put off. And then on the other side, everything that we are in Christ needs to be put on. We are these things on the inside, but it needs to be put on where we can see it. You know, the Bible talks about put on love. I heard a minister one time saying, you know, you start trying to make changes in your life and somebody will say, well, you're just putting on. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put on the right things. Praise God. So you notice that you got a bad attitude when it comes to this kind of thing. So you put that off. But what we tend to do, and I think what we've got to learn not to do, is to just kind of say, well, this is me, or I guess I'll have to learn to live with it, or you know, wallow around in it for a while. There's a unrenewed part of our soul, I think, that likes that. Kind of a sick part of our soul. It feels good to feel bad. I'm gonna wallow around in this. I used to tease about pulling down all the shades, turning out the lights, and sitting there and playing mood music, and just I'm gonna have a blue day. I'm gonna have a sad day. Unfortunately, it doesn't usually just last a day. After a while, it can become a lifetime. So we want to make the changes. It's in our hands to put off. It's in our hands to put on. And in the middle of that, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Could we say renewed in the spirit of your mind? There needs to be a change in the heart. It needs to get to that level. If we find that we're having to make those same put-offs and put-ons over and over again, it probably hasn't reached heart level yet. So we're gonna stay at it and labor until we get to that point where our hearts are different. Amen. And it's worth it, praise God. When you get an area and say, well, boy, I don't have trouble with that anymore, because there's been a change on the inside. Romans chapter 6, we'll finish up here. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Interesting, I was looking at the words in the original language, and when it says instruments here, it's the same word in the original language. It's over in 2 Corinthians 10, where it says the weapons of our warfare. Here it uses the word instruments. So don't yield your members, your body, the outward man, as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Now, there's been some people who have taught grace, and they've taught grace means God forgives, he loves us, so do whatever you want to do. But obviously, that's not true from this scripture, is it? He's saying, deal with that sin. Get that under your feet. Don't give in to that. Don't give your members over to that. Stop doing it. And the way that you stop is by seeing who you are. It starts with this interesting word, reckon. I reckon it's an important word. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what the word reckon is defined as in Strong's. To consider, to take into account, to weigh, and here's a great definition, to meditate on. Because we've been talking a lot about that recently. So let's go from that standpoint. Likewise, you also meditate on being dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about it that way. Meditate on being dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So sin, what's that? That's this thing that bothers you. This thing that's a temptation to you. Think about, meditate on, picture in your mind. I'm dead to that. You can't pull on me, I'm dead to that. There's nothing in me to pull on. The temptation to sin, according to James, something in us. I'm putting that off and I'm putting on. And by renewing my mind, I'm putting on who I am in Christ, and I'm meditating on, I'm seeing myself. That has nothing in me. I'm not moved by that. I'm dead to that. It also means to judge, to determine, to purpose, to decide. Make a quality decision. This has nothing in me. Change. Transformation. Now, interesting, when you go down, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. The word reign is defined as exercise, influence, or control over. Don't let it do that. If God is telling us that, and he is, we must be able to. This is too big for me. I just can't do this. Well, stop. Stop saying that. You know, we're getting what we say a lot of times, but we're saying the wrong thing. I guess in some ways we always get what we say. It's changing our heart so that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we're saying the right thing. To exercise influence or control over. I'm not going to let that have control of me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, you have to have some self-talk. You have to talk to yourself at these times and give victory over those things, because we're moving forward. We're not stagnant. We're not staying where we are as individuals and as a church. We're moving forward. So our confession needs to be in that direction, and our mindset needs to be in that direction. I'm not staying here. I am that. This is not who I am. And it's not that. Don't fall into the trap of judging yourself as weak. Judging yourself, there's something wrong. What's wrong with me? There's some things right with you that you need to think about, meditate on. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God, heir of Jesus, heir with Jesus, and joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have things they should be on the inside of you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the Word of God. You got the past forgiven. You got healing. You've got deliverance. Praise God. You've got wisdom. Everything that we need, we have. But we need to think that way. We need to get our mindset that way. We need to get our heart changed that way. We need to put off anything that doesn't belong to that and put on everything that does. Sometimes a change of clothes happens a lot in one day. Seems like that when you're starting out, there's a lot of put off and put on. How many found that to be true? You know, a lot of put off, put on. But we're learning. Praise God. We're moving forward. And we're going to do some things for God. I'm looking forward to this week. Looking forward to Saturday. And it's going to be a lot of work. But praise God, we can help somebody transform their life. If it was even one, even if there's seeds planted, it'll be worth it. Amen? Amen. Let's worship.